Welcome back, everybody. It's another edition of the Draft Dive Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Jonah, joined, as always, by my co-host, Colt. Colt, how you doing out there?
Doing pretty good. Happy to be back in you know, voice format, if you will, podcasting and everything like that. Had some time with the family and everything like that with Thanksgiving. What I'm most thankful for this season, I know we didn't really get to talk about it, but I'm glad that Monday Night Football game's over. Tell me your reaction to it as a Vikings fan, as a football enjoyer. Where does that rank in your all-time worst games to watch?
Yeah, that was a pretty boring one, but I'm always interested if the Vikings are playing, so, you know, there's been plenty other worse ones that I've seen, but yeah, that was a tough game.
Yeah, it was certainly, I feel like, you know, Friday, the first ever Black Friday football, they, you know, pretty much a snooze fest, and then Monday Night Football rolls around, and they say, hold my beer, here we go. And yeah, it was just, it was tough. My buddy, he wasn't watching the game, he was just seeing the play-by-play on Sleeper, and he's like, why does Ty Chandler only have 5 carries? And I'm like, I mean, you're lucky he's got 5 carries. The Vikings kept going 3 and out or less on probably every single offensive drive so far. So, yeah, it was not very enjoyable. Unless you were the DJ Moore or the Hockenson owner, then, yeah, you're pretty upset. And just the way the game ended in that fashion, it was just icing on the cake, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a tough one. Like yeah. I said, that's just a frustrating game.
Yeah, we certainly expected more. So, nevertheless, we'll get on to, I guess it's not great news for Frank Reich, but Panthers, they fired head coach Frank Reich after just 11 games. They're 1-10, basically tanking to get that first overall pick. But bad news is they don't have it anymore. They traded for Bryce Young. And, fired into his first year as the head coach. Does this move the needle at all on any of the weapons for the Panthers offense?
I mean, they can't really get much worse, can they? They've got Adam Thielen, and that's pretty, maybe a little Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah.
But they're not really, you know, they're not bursting with fantasy stars, so I'm not sure how it could get worse for them.
That is very true. Yeah, and I was telling people about that. I'm like, you have Adam Thielen, who, yeah, is great. He's a great consolation prize if you want to grow a quarterback. Like, he's somebody you want to add. You don't want him to be your one, and that's what he's had to be. He had to be the one, the two, the three. He's everything to that offense moving. And so I totally get where people are coming from. But, yeah, nevertheless, hopefully things get better. I mean, we saw Matt Canada get fired. Kenny Pickett looked pretty good. Yeah. They had more offensive yards than I think in any other game so far this season. And, when the Raiders, moved on that way, that's we're seeing movement with these head coaches and other coaches in general, and just it's making, you can't get worse type of situations get better. So
and you know, Frank Reich, he was that's early 2 seasons in a row, which I believe is the first time that's ever happened.
Oh yeah right,
midway through the season, partway through the season, 2 years in a row.
Yeah, that's got to be the first time, because it's rare that you get fired in the first season anyway. So, yeah, the fact that that's 2 seasons in a row, that might be done here, I'd say, in the NFL then, as far as head coaching goes. It's
who knows?
Not a good luck. But yeah, these guys get chances, second chances, third chances, all that kind of stuff all the time. But we're not here just to talk about head coaching changes. We're here to talk about some of our waiver wire pickups here on the week. Just as a reminder, let's go ahead and talk about the Bi-Apocalypse version 2 of the season. The 6 teams on bye. We got the Ravens, Bills, Bears, Vikings, Giants, and the Raiders. So it's going to be tough. You might need some of these guys to kind of plug and play, but let's go ahead and get into it. I'm going to start off with a QB stream here. I think it's a good pick. Russell Wilson at Houston. I mean, Houston, they're actually putting up points this year, which is something they haven't done in previous years. And, it makes it a little easier for the quarterback to have to fight and come back. Russ, he's a pretty safe option. He's not really a high upside type of guy. He hasn't been turning the ball over. I mean, he's 20 touchdowns to just 4 interceptions on the season. He's a solid quarterback, probably like 15 to 19 points or something like that. If you need upside, maybe you look somewhere else. But Russell Wilson versus Houston, I like that pick.
Yeah, and I mean, Houston, as well as being a good offense, isn't a very good pass defense as well, or really a good defense, period. So that's it's always nice to have to be going against a nice offensive team who also they'll allow you to throw on them too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's kind of two other names here. Tell me how you kind of get a heat check on this. But Jordan Love versus the Chiefs, I mean, I don't like the matchup, but Jordan Love's kind of been on fire. So, I mean, he looked great against Detroit, which we kind of expected that as far as their pass defense. They're kind of, you know, they stop the run. They try to funnel that way. But he I mean, he's been decent these past, you know, past three games, 2+ touchdowns in every single game. So you'll take that, certainly. Christian Watson kind of coming onto the scene. And, yeah, I mean, just spreading the ball around a lot. Like I said, it was Pittsburgh. It was Chargers, Detroit, teams you could pass on much easier. But now Kansas City, so a little skeptical about that. Where do you kind of stand on Jordan Love? Is he, I mean, 6 teams on bye. I mean, you've got Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields, if you're starting him, Dobbs. And, yeah, so, I mean, you got a lot of high-profile names at the quarterback position. Where are you kind of feeling on Jordan Love versus the Chiefs?
So, you know, I love almost everything about Love except that matchup. The Chiefs are a tough defense. I still don't think, you know, a 250 and 2 touchdown game is too crazy to expect from him. I would kind of have him in the, just because of the matchup, a bit of a lower ceiling. But yeah, with all the teams on bye and then just throw in some injuries too, you know, that have happened in the past week or two, the quarterback position's getting a little, people are having to reach deep for it. And Jordan Love's certainly not a bad guy to reach a little bit for. And I'll say after the Chiefs, he's got the Bucks and the Giants the next 2 weeks. So
that's nice.
If you're looking a little more long-term for a guy who might be your backup the rest of the season, yeah, having the Bucks and the Giants the next 2 weeks is pretty sweet.
Yeah, yeah, we'll take that. What do you think about Kenny Pickett? Is he a stream versus the Cardinals? I mean, we just saw Matthew Stafford. I mean, he absolutely eviscerated the the Cardinals themselves. He wasn't a guy who was getting touchdowns. We had him as a start of the week or a streamer a few different times throughout the season. It's just been based off yardage for the most part and maybe a touchdown, but he finally has a breakout game, if you will, for this season. 4 touchdown passes, none of them to Puka Nacua or Cooper Kupp, surprisingly. But yeah, Matthew Stafford, Kenny Pickett, who hasn't been throwing a lot of touchdowns. I'm not putting Stafford and Pickett by any means in the same tier, but offensive coordinator change. They fired Matt Canada. First game back, 278 yards. It's his highest yardage total so far on the season. So what are you thinking there?
I mean, Pickett, it's a nice matchup. He's probably going to be my least favorite of guys we recommend for the waiver wire. So, I mean, he's not the worst option you can go with. He's not going to be my least favorite quarterback, but there are guys I like more. I'm not a Kenny Pickett believer.
Yeah, totally. And I'm totally on board with that. Like I say, he's definitely at the bottom tier. But if you're in a deeper league with the teams on bye and how many actual starting quarterbacks you're confident that are going to start the whole game, Mac Jones, then yeah, Pickett might be an option there for you. Not a great quarterback, but great matchup, as opposed to like a better quarterback and Jordan Love versus the Chiefs in a bad matchup. You know, pick your poison there on how you want to be that fit. Did you have any other QB streams here for us this week?
You know, I did. They're guys I talked about last week. But still, I mean, my numbers still had Stafford owned around 50%, even after that breakout 4 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And he still got Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua to throw to. There's something to be said about, you know, a quarterback with 2 stud receivers. And then the deep stream of the week, I had Gardner Minshew. He's got the Titans this week, another soft, The Titans have the stout run defense. Their pass defense is towards the bottom of the league, so that's a good matchup for them. Then he's got the Bengals, Steelers, and Falcons for the next few weeks. So Gardner could make a little run here at the end of the year. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly could. That's a player you could look to for sure. You mentioned Matthew Stafford. I do like that pick. He is under 50% rostered, so good call out there. Cleveland, Baltimore, less than ideal, but
yeah,
as you mentioned, Stafford
great.
Yeah, but you know, Kyron Williams coming back obviously helps him out. You see the games when he had Kyron in there. It is night and day difference. He obviously opens up the offense for him, and so that's encouraging, if you will. So. Yeah, I get that. I got a question for you on Cooper Kupp real quick. Like, he was good the first two games he came back. Great matchups for him. I mean, that was Eagles and Arizona. Even in these other ones where they're not bad matchups, the past five games, he hasn't eclipsed 6 fantasy points. Where are you at with Cooper Kupp? Like, are you starting Tank Dell over Cooper Kupp the rest of the season?
I'm thinking about it. I went ahead and started Puka Nacua over Cooper Kupp this past week. I thought Nacua had been outshining him, and I mean, fantasy-wise, he has been outshining him. Yeah, gosh, you know, the talent, such great talent that's just sitting there, can't be ignored, but you also can't ignore the fact that he's putting up dud weeks. So
yeah,
if you have a semi-strong receiver on the bench, you need to start strongly considering starting him.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, Tank Dell's surprisingly he's the wide receiver 11 on the season. I mean, after the bye, just been hit the ground running. So yeah, a lot of touchdowns are going to help that out. He has, what is this, 5 touchdowns in 4 weeks, so that's going to help. Get some tougher matchups here coming up with Tank Dell, with Denver, Jets, Cleveland. Plays Tennessee twice, which those are, you'll take that. That's fine. But I'm certainly going Tank Dell. I think Cooper Kupp might be dealing with the ankle injury as well. It was funny when you listen to Sean McVay. He was saying about Cooper Kupp. He's saying that, oh yeah, Cooper Kupp, he's going to practice this week. You know, we don't know if he's going to play this week or if he's going to go on IR. And it's kind of like, what? What do you mean? That seems like it's, why is that such a big swing?
That's a
there?
Wide range.
Yeah, so wide range, huge variance. So, yeah, I think he's certainly dealing with something. Puka Nacua is certainly over him. He's the only wide receiver in the league that has 7-plus targets so far on the season. But Tank Dell, I think, over him as well. But just wanted to pick your brain on that. That's our QB streams there. Let's get into the running backs. I don't have too many guys here. I just got a couple. But I do want to start off with saying, with the running back waivers, if you're somebody who has a star running back, you know, we're getting into the part of the season where, you know, after bike apocalypse, like after this right here, this week in week 13, after that, like if you're not going to start these running backs, then go ahead and just throw them off your thing. Get your backup running backs for your starters. Like if you have Jonathan Taylor, for example, Zach Moss sitting on your waiver wire, scoop him up. Certainly, you're not going to play him, but if Jonathan Taylor goes down, you know Zach Moss can carry the load. Like we've seen him earlier in the season, he looks good. The same thing with like a Derrick Henry, Tajay Spears. Like Tajay Spears just flashed. But the schedule Derrick Henry's got coming up is cake. So you want to grab those backups. I'm okay with grabbing other backups too if they're not even yours. Just guys that you know if an injury happens, they could be a league winner for you at the end of the season. So just my little 2 cents there. Is that kind of how you approach that as well, Jonah? Or how do you look at the running back landscape with about this time of the season?
Yeah, handcuffs are definitely a necessity. You know, you've got to have your star backup there. You know, I'm hanging on to one or two running backs just in case. You always got to be a little worried about, well, injury, you have their handcuff, but still, say, like, I don't want, if one of my backup running backs might be better than someone else's, I don't want to give them any kind of help at all. say, like, you know, on a team, I have Isaiah Pacheco, and I don't start him because I have, it's just a strict two running back league, no flex, and I've got McCaffrey and Mostert.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Pacheco's always on the bench, but I don't want to give him to someone else because running backs are tough to come by.
Yeah, no, totally agree with you there. But if you've got like a Dalvin Cook you've been holding on to all season or maybe something like that, like I don't think Dalvin Cook's coming in there and actually doing anything if Breece Hall were to get injured. Those type of situations, maybe like a, can't think of any other off the top of my head, but maybe even a, well, Zeke's kind of had almost standalone value in some weeks, so. But the Patriots offense, as a Patriots fan, I'll tell you, you don't want anything to do with it, especially the running back landscape. So maybe you just avoid that overall. But just, nevertheless, go ahead and get your backup running backs there, whether they're yours or somebody else's. But don't drop somebody that's like a would be a starter for somebody else's team. These are more of like the lower end, maybe Jaleel McLaughlin type of situation. Those type of guys where they're going to be on the bench that way. But guy I want to start off with, he is kind of a handcuff in a sense, or a backup, if you will. But Jeff Wilson, he's personally at the top of my list as far as guys who are barely owned at all. He's 18% rostered. So this is more, Mostert is the guy for the Dolphins. Let's go ahead and say that and get that out of the way so you don't hear what I'm not saying. And Achane is also the guy. He has standalone value. But he is banged up, and I think that the running back two for the Dolphins has some kind of flex appeal in fantasy. So if Achane doesn't suit up here going into week 13, you could start Wilson with confidence. I mean, going against a Commanders defense who's been struggling, whether it's through the air or through on the ground, they're struggling all over. So Jeff Wilson's somebody I'm cool with. You know, God forbid a injury happens to Mostert, that's just going to elevate Wilson even more. Right now with Achane, out, then, yeah, he's more of a flex-type running back. He's going to be safe to get you some carries because Miami's almost always going to be up in most situations. So that's where I'm kind of at with Jeff Wilson.
Yeah, Miami definitely likes their running back, too. And like you said, Achane is out, who would normally be technically two, you know, as you talked about. So, no, I mean, Wilson's probably good for, what, 6 to 10 carries or so, which in the Miami offense could be worth, you know, 60 yards pretty easily. So, yeah, it's a possibility. You know, he can also, they don't really seem to control their, goal line. So he could sneak a goal line carry or two in there.
Yeah. I mean, next three matchups, Washington, Tennessee, New York Jets. I don't see any of those games where the Dolphins are kind of, having to catch up by any means, if you will. You wouldn't think so. So, yeah, Jeff Wilson could get a little bit of run. Like I said, it kind of more defends. I'm not starting him by any means if Achane is out there, but Achane's to miss another week. Maybe they get him healthy for the playoffs and stuff like that. And Jeff Wilson's kind of in play. I've got another guy here, Royce Freeman. He's only 13% rostered. 13's a good number because that's how many carries he had. 13 for 77 and a touchdown. He's kind of looked good all season, but he was buried, if you will, on the depth chart once he came onto it with Daryl Henderson, who went back and forth between the practice squad and starting, just how they were kind of cheating the system, if you will. But Royce Freeman has always been, he's looked like the better running back when he's gotten the opportunity. Aaron Williams is now back in front of him, and he's clearly the guy. They showed that with 200 scrimmage yards and two touchdowns here this week, but yeah, Royce Freeman has, he doesn't necessarily have standalone value, but I think he's the guy behind Kyren if there were to be an injury or anything like that. Not great matchups the next 2 weeks, but if you're in a pickle, I mean, he has the Browns and the Ravens. Certainly not good matchups there. But yeah, six teams on bye. Perhaps you need to get him into there. What other running back waivers you got? And are you kind of on the idea of Royce would be a decent running back if Kyren were to go down?
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely believed in Royce, the Oregon boy. I do think, you know, it was good he showed this year. I mean, he had been absent for at least a couple of years, so it's good that he was able to come back and show that he still has talent this year. The Rams seem to be all over the place, as you said, from starter to practice squad, and trying to figure out which running back was getting carries was tough. Royce, I would say, has been the most consistent. And so, yeah, there's a decent shot, you know, kind of like you were talking about, one of those, hey, he's an injury away from being, you know, a good starter.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, it's always nice to see those guys we saw prosper in college and then come into the NFL. And it's a little rocky road, but yeah. See them kind of, hey, I remember this name. Get to see him again. Like I said, that's about it for running backs. I think that's the landscape doesn't really permit that there are too many available. A lot of them are highly rostered, so it's kind of hard to find some more of these guys. But like I said, the backups at this part of the season, that's where I'm grabbing them. I'm just looking at my roster, a team that I'm praying I can get into the fantasy landscape. I'm 11-13. We play against the median, so we play two teams each week, basically. But I have Rico Dowdle, and I also own Tony Pollard, and then I have Jeff Wilson just kind of sitting there. So I'm hoping, like I said, I don't need to use him, but got him there just in case. Shall we go into the wide receiver waivers?
You know, I did want to mention Antonio Gibson for Washington.
Oh, yeah.
I'm showing is owned in under 50% of leagues. And Washington, actually, they've got a tough schedule going up where they might be throwing the ball more. And so it could be more of an Antonio Gibson-centered offense the next few weeks, though Robinson caught plenty of passes as well.
Yeah, surprisingly, Robinson, just going into this year, it's like, okay, he's going to be kind of the – it looks like he's going to be the one – maybe Antonio Gibson becomes the one because Eric Bieniemy just wants to play the best players. Turns out that was Brian Robinson, and he didn't really have a pass-catching profile, especially not like Gibson, because that was kind of what he was, right, coming out of Memphis. But he, I certainly like that pick. And Gibson is certainly a guy who fits right into that backup running back role where we've seen him do it before. I mean, he was the running back 12 and 11. In 2020 and 2021, so we know he's got the chops, he's got the speed for sure, but a guy who would elevate his game if there were an injury in front of him. But yeah, I like that. Miami, I like to think that they're going to be passing a lot, so
yep, you would think so.
Yeah, that I like that pick a lot. Let's get on to the wide receivers here. I'm going to start off with a guy, we've kind of pounded the table for him, so I won't get into it too much, but Jaden Reed is a guy he's owned in about 55% of leagues, so about half of leagues he's available. He got 10-plus fantasy points in half PPR in 4 out of the past 5 games. That's coming out of the bye. He's just looked great. Christian Watson, he was involved here on Thanksgiving. He just wanted to remind everybody that, hey, I'm still on the team. But it's kind of a 1A, 1B situation. It changes from week to week, which you know who it is, but so far it's been Jaden Reed. Watson just kind of showed up here recently, but even in week 12, I mean, they were tied for first read targets in week 12. So I'm cool with Jaden Reed. He's like a low end flex wide receiver. I'm not starting with any kind of confidence as a wide receiver too. But if you need about 10 points in your wide receiver spot, I think he's somebody who can give it to you for sure.
Yeah, I think he's also got, is it 3 or 4 straight touchdowns?
Yeah.
In a game, one of the two. So you know, he's definitely getting targeted. He's getting targeted in the red zone. Yeah, Jordan Love is playing much better. You know, that's going to help his wide receivers value as well. So Reed is a pretty obvious add if you're looking for wide receiver help.
Yeah, if you need somebody and you got to start with confidence, that's who I'm most excited for. We just see it, you know, later on in the season, just these rookie wide receivers, they get more acclimated into the offense, they get more confident, they get more used to everything, just get more familiar with the playbook, everything. Just gets easier for him as the season progresses. That's how we see it every single season. So that's a guy I want to mention there. Greg Dortch. This comes with a kind of a caveat, an asterisk, if you will. But another high target week due to, this is the asterisk, Michael Wilson's absence. So he was absent last week. The guy 8 targets. He was absent here this previous week. And yeah, I mean, he didn't get a ton of yards. His stat line, he got 9 targets, which is exactly what you want to see, but 3 for 27 and a touchdown. He gets Pittsburgh. So if Michael Wilson's kind of, you know, missing a game, more of deeper leagues, maybe DFS if you wanted to throw him in there again, or like a second flex if you have that. With six teams on bye, maybe you could do worse. I'm kind of excited for Greg Dortch because we've seen him before with Kyler, and just Kyler coming back and the injury here to Michael Wilson. He's been getting a lot of targets.
Yeah, as long as Michael Wilson's out, Dortch is a definite threat to take up a lot of targets and probably get a lot of catches.
Yeah, here's another guy. I'm not very bullish on him, but Curtis Samuel. I mean, he's rostered about 40% of leagues. Got 12 targets, 9 for 100 on Thanksgiving. You just mentioned it with the Commanders. Like, you know, they're a team that's going to have to pass a lot. They get Miami next week. You'd expect Miami to just kind of, you know, blow the doors off just like Dallas did. Another negative game script coming for him. So I'm not chasing it, but where are you kind of at with Curtis Samuel?
I mean, you know, Washington actually has a pretty solid receiving core, and Sam Howell spreads it out too much, I would say. You know, good for him as a NFL quarterback. That's smart and good to spread it out. Not as good for fantasy, you know. I don't have a lot of confidence just because of that, but it also, Sam Howell could decide to go to him 10 times as well. So there's huge risk, huge reward.
Yeah, you're certainly playing roulette, you know, the Dotson, McLaurin, Samuel roulette game every time you just spin the revolver. So, yeah, I totally get that. Yeah, not chasing it. Could it happen again? Sure. But, yeah, not something I'm chasing. I don't even like having McLaurin on my team. I get it. He's the one certainly on the team. But it's just, yeah, you never know when it's going to happen. It reminds me a good bit of Green Bay where they just spread it around quite a bit. Kind of isolated between the top guys. But never know. Here's another guy. I've got A.T. Perry. I think he is a guy we certainly should be mentioning. And this is more off desperation. I mean, we saw Michael Thomas. He is out. We saw Rashid Shaheed get banged up. We saw Chris Olave get banged up in this game. Juwan Johnson, for a good portion of it, got banged up. Everybody is banged up as far as pass catchers go. He ran the second most routes on the team here this previous week. He's currently healthy, and he's a big target, you know, for Derek Carr. So, hasn't been used at all on the season. I think he was injured prior to this. Just going off of the top of my head because he was dealing with something for the beginning of the season. But yeah, this is more of like a DFS play, if anything. Not somebody you should be plugging into your roster, even if like everybody's gone. But I wouldn't imagine that he costs a lot in like a FanDuel or DraftKings.
No, yeah, Perry looks to be the last man standing, so to speak, in New Orleans right now. He's an exciting rookie. You kind of mentioned it. You know, he's 6'5",
yeah,
and so there was a lot, and he's an athlete, so there was a lot of, you know, excitement, I guess is the right word, around him for the draft process. Everyone loves big athletic receivers. I did think I remembered him. Yeah, he's got a touchdown on the season.
Jameis Winston,
It's against Minnesota, right?
Yeah, it was against Minnesota, yeah.
That's why I remember having an A.T. Perry sighting and being slightly interested. you know, yeah, it's, you talk about a gamble, but I mean, guy's probably at worst the number two receiver going into this game in New Orleans, so.
Yeah, and this isn't, you know, we haven't said that Chris Olave's out by any means, but it's concussion. So, yeah, I couldn't imagine that. I mean, we see it all the time where they don't, you know, these players just don't clear the concussion protocol quick enough to get back into the game the following week. So, yeah, A.T. Perry, like I said, desperation type of play, more of like a DFS lineup. Who else do you have? I mean, I got two other guys here. I'll just rattle them off real quick, but they're going into their bye week, so they're more of honorable mentions. Not somebody I'm throwing onto my bench if I don't have to. But Jalen Hyatt, 5 for 109. Hello, welcome to the NFL. Was just waiting for him to kind of do that, and it's awesome because he wears 13. So just he reminds me of Odell on the Giants. Just some of these catches he made on the sideline, he looks so good. And then Jacoby Myers, welcome back. He did his best Taysom Hill impression. He had one pass, one carry, six receptions for 79 and a touchdown. Finally got something cooking after quite some time off. Because Jimmy G isn't back there, but two names that I wanted to mention there, but like I said, they're going into their bye, so need somebody to play. You can't play them, obviously, and I'm probably not holding either one. But who else do you got on the wide receiver docket?
Well, especially in PPR leagues, but maybe not even in just PPR leagues, DeMario Douglas. So you got to throw it to somebody. And I think he's had six catches in at least three straight weeks. So he's getting the ball. He's getting those PPR points. And maybe Bailey Zappe at quarterback, which, of course, would make it much better for him.
We'll agree to disagree on the last part there. But, DeMario Douglas, that's certainly a good pick. Chargers, they're not a good defense. But what's worse is the Patriots offense. Kind of a spoiler alert to my defensive stream of the week. But, Douglas, I do like, and he certainly should be mentioned because he's looked good. Five plus catches in every single game the past month. So, and getting the targets. Like I said, he's clearly, for the most part, the number one on the week, or the depth chart, rather, for the Patriots. So, a good name to throw out there. Let's get into the thick of it. Here's my favorite player that we're going to be talking about, the tight end waivers. Pat Freiermuth. We already knew he was good. He was good the past two seasons. He's only rostered in about half of leagues. He looks healthy. He had the most receiving yards out of every single player here this week with a 120. I mean, wow. Pat Freiermuth, welcome back. He led the Steelers in the targets. Matt Canada, gone. Their actually offense was looking good for once. And it's got some nice matchups on the way. So fire up Freiermuth.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, again, no brainer. Probably the most popular ad of the week if he's available in your league. I mentioned him last week as a guy to possibly pick up as well. Said that I didn't love the Pittsburgh offense, but if you're looking just for pure talent, you know, pure talent in a tight end, that there's not a ton that have more than Freiermuth. So it's never a bad bet to just say, well, gosh, this guy's better than, 80% of the people at his position. I'll just go ahead and start him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I don't think either one of us banked on him having a career day, but hey, have a day.
No, the career day was nice, but yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Look like Travis Kelce out there. Crazy. Another guy who's actually rostered in more leagues than Freiermuth, which I thought is kind of crazy. That's going to be reversed here really soon, I'm sure. And again, this is somebody who's going into the bye, so if you don't want to roster two tight ends, I totally understand, but a name worth mentioning. Isaiah Likely, rostered about half of leagues. He ran the second most routes for the Ravens. It didn't really turn into much because he didn't get a touchdown, but 4 for 40 at the tight end position. Maybe in a PPR league, you'll like that a little bit more, but yeah, like I said, no reason to hold on to him in the bye, but double check to see where he lands if he... Maybe you're just looking at the future for him if that's your type of situation. Any other tight ends you got here mentioned this week? There's a couple that caught some touchdowns.
I thought we might have to get deep in the tight end just in case with all the buys coming up. So Gerald Everett, maybe this is the start of something for him. Can't ignore a two touchdown game though.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm always on board for Gerald Everett. Big fan of his work. I'm always excited for that. New England, Denver, New England next week. So, yeah, mainly New England is what you want to play him for. You're going to this next one. And, yeah, should be a prominent. He didn't get a lot of snaps here this previous week, but that was mainly, I think, just coming back from injury. But healthy now, and, yeah, like I said, he scored, so. We'll take that.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead. Let's wrap it up here with our defensive streams of the week. like I said, I already gave you a little spoiler. Chargers at the Patriots. The Chargers defense is bad, but Patriots offenses work. Patriots offense is in shambles. They have two quarterbacks taking half the snaps. If you throw an interception, you're benched. Like, it's very, very bad out there for the Patriots. So, like I said, Chargers defense isn't great, but I would certainly fire them up. I got another one here real quick. This one is more, I think this might be a little bit more of a deeper take, but the Rams at Cleveland, versus Cleveland, it's a home game for them. But I'm extremely confident if DTR is out there. I mean, I don't know if he got concussed, but he certainly got blown up on a play and he was bleeding at the lip. But yeah, I'm okay. I'm mildly okay with it. If it's PJ Walker, I don't think there's too much of a thing there. But in DTR starts, here's how many points the Browns have scored. 3, 10, and 12. So you're not expecting much out there. He's a rookie quarterback, you know, and he's not really getting. He shouldn't be starting on this type of short notice. So, nevertheless, if he's out there, I'm cool with firing up the Rams, who again, just like the Chargers, haven't been great as far as it goes. So they haven't really been forcing any turnovers.
Yeah, none of the Browns quarterbacks look good. So I don't think there is a difference. And you forgot their secret weapon, Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco?
Who knows? Maybe Joe Flacco soon enough, but starting a defense against, you know, DTR or Walker or Joe Flacco is a smart idea.
The $100 million man. Yeah, I'm cool with Joe Flacco as well. Maybe he gets elevated. I don't know if he's on the practice squad or how they have that situated, but yeah, I think that's a good pick there, regardless of who's at the quarterback situation. It's been since 2017 since Joe Flacco has played a full season. That's man, time flies.
yeah.
Oh man, I can't. I got paid $100 million. That's
hanging on.
he's hanging on. I mean, he certainly should be, and not starting in the NFL, but with all the injuries and everything like that, the landscape. Probably have a job. I mean, he's certainly past his prime. But
wise and knowledgeable, you know, pass it on to the youth, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. What other defenses did you have as kind of a streamer here?
Yep, I've actually got a couple more, but we did quickly mention, you know, the Chargers, if Bailey Zappe gets 100% of those snaps, I don't know. I think he carves him up. It's my boy. I can't go against him.
You think so?
Sure. I have to.
I did like I said, small school kind of guy where, yeah, I do. And then I think he still holds the college record, right?
Yeah.
He had the best touchdowns, so.
Best season ever by a quarterback. But, yep, a couple other defensive streams here. Got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on Carolina. It's just one of those matchups where, I mean, you seek out the bad offenses.
Yeah.
Bryce, you know, maybe the firing changes Carolina's offense and they're a great offense all of a sudden. I don't think it's a massive improvement. So if, again, we're going pretty deep here because Tampa Bay has not been good this year. But, you know, Tampa Bay, if they're available and you really need someone, they are taking on a very low-scoring Carolina team. And then finally, Jacksonville, they're taking on the Bengals. And it's the same thing. I'm picking on Jake Browning. I'll always bet it, you know, I'll always take defense against Jake Browning.
Yeah, no, totally on board with that. The Browning, I mean, there was two plays, I don't know if you got to see that game, but where Chase had to catch a pass off of deflected, like off the D-line.
Okay.
It was just, certainly could have been interceptions. I mean, Jake Browning didn't look amazing, but he ended the day with one pick, which should have been at least two, if not three. But yeah, it was a mediocre first career start for Jake Browning. So yeah, I'm certainly fine with. I like the Jacksonville one a lot, actually.
Yeah,
I don't think their defense is actually all that bad compared to a lot of the other ones we've been mentioning. It's worse offenses, but certainly worse defenses.
But yeah, starting out with an average defense against a bad offense.
Yeah,
that's
totally on board with that for sure. Let's go ahead. Let's sign us off here, Jonah. I'm gonna go ahead and let's tell the people where we can find us. You can make sure you find us. Go to draftdive.com. Check out the Patreon as well, draftdive. Patreon.com/draftdive. And then also hit us up on Twitter, or you know, formerly known as Twitter, now X. You can find us at draftdive and also at @_ColtWilliams. And I guess we'll see the people back as always. Regular routine podcast here on Thursday with the starts and sits episode.
Yep, another quick podcast. Good to can't wait for the starts and sits one. And yeah, I want to thank everyone out there for listening.
All right, we'll see you guys on Thursday.
Bye.